smartphone in the Ave Maria Radio app or by going to avemariaradio.net/Bible.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Monday morning. It's May 8th, 2017. Do hope you're having a beautiful Monday as we move into the, 100th anniversary of Fatima this weekend. And, of course, stay tuned to EWTN for all the great coverage, covering different events, so what's happening with the Pope and in Portugal and elsewhere, all the different celebrations to mark the anniversary. And, of course, there's going to be so much throughout the summer as we move to the close of the celebration, the date of the final apparition in October. So make sure you stay tuned to all things EWTN, and you can find out all the details, as Doug mentioned on Friday, at EWTN.com. Coming up in the program, extremely honored that Archbishop Nauman from the Archdiocese of Kansas City can spend a few minutes with us this morning to talk about his decision to cut ties with the Girl Scouts. Now, thanks be to God, most of the folks in the Archdiocese are with him on this and totally agree that it was necessary. And he took so much time and really met with the Girl Scouts and investigated it to find out what was going on. But look, he's the chief shepherd. We just had Good Shepherd Sunday. And I think it's very timely that we have him on today because he is being a good shepherd. He's leading his flock properly and raising awareness about what's happening. And if you have a group that, even if it's not happening locally in your troop, in, let's say in the parish, but if you have a group that is raising concerns about ties to organizations, activities, events that are counter to Catholic teaching, then as a shepherd, he needs to do something. And that's why he did what he did, and he's going to talk about the decision, the process, and the alternative that's available for girls in the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas. Our friend Archbishop Joseph Nauman, who's a wonderful, such a solid bishop. I've had the opportunity to speak in his archdiocese many times and saw him 2 years ago at the Catholic Women's Conference. It was great. So he'll be joining us. And then I'm excited to have my friend Jack Williams on with us. This is going to be really fun. Giving you another behind-the-scenes look at EWTN. Jack is, of course, the new general manager of EWTN Radio. You may have heard it announced in press releases and whatnot. He has served most recently in the role of Director of Affiliate Relations for Radio, and also has served a number of different roles in Catholic radio over the years and at EWTN. And he and I first met years ago in Iowa when he was with Iowa Catholic Radio, and he was just a down-to-earth and still-is guy helping me with my books and hauling them on the table for me and unpacking them and helping me sell them. So just a real down-to-earth, get-to-know-you type guy. So he's going to be joining us at 39 minutes past the hour. And we really want to talk about, as Jack said, the importance of partnerships with EWTN. We have a very strong partnership at Ave Maria, obviously, with EWTN. And we know that many of our listeners are listening to us on brick-and-mortar stations, some online at various websites, but a lot of you are listening on your favorite local Catholic radio station. And that relationship between the affiliates and the network is huge to us. And so Jack will give us some insight. That'll be a lot of fun, and we'll take some calls as well. And then Gail Buckley wrapping up a Monday morning for us, as she always does, with our Bible verse of the week. Beautiful Eucharistic verse from Matthew 26:26-28. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So Gail Buckley joining us on this Monday, May 8th, 2017, with our beautiful Bible verse, or shall I say verses, of the week. Also asking for your prayers today for my family as we mark the one-year anniversary of my sister's passing. My sister Donna passed away last year. If you recall, it was Mother's Day last year, May 8th. She died a very untimely death from ovarian cancer, and it was really powerful. There were so many, I think I shared with you a great deal. I decided to do my show the day after her passing just to share some of the very powerful answers and spiritual experiences that we had in terms of God being present And one of the things that happened is that my nephew Andrew, her son and our godson, and his wife Erica. Now, Donna knew before she passed away that he was expecting, but she did not know that he would be soon having identical baby girls, twins, right? And we actually found out the day after Donna died. And the minute we got the call from Erica, who was actually at the OBGYN the time she called in and they got the results from the ultrasound, and Andrew made the announcement, I said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And thanks be to God, Frankie and Lily, even though they were born very premature, just about 3 pounds max, they are thriving and fat and happy and doing really well. And I know my sister is smiling down at us. So anyway, if you could just keep my mom, Rosie, in your prayers today and also our family as we mark the one-year anniversary of my sister Donna's passing, I would greatly appreciate it. You were so supportive last year. I know many of you have had similar circumstances, losing a loved one to cancer. So many people are touched by cancer nowadays. So we're all in this together. We are one body in Christ. So thanks for your prayers in advance. Right now it is 5 minutes past the hour. It's a Monday morning, May 8th, 2017. Let's see what's happening in the news on a Monday. Pope Francis has E.W. Chen reporting and will continue to report all week long, set to canonize two of the three Fatima visionaries later this week in Portugal, both Francisca and Jacinta dying within 2 years of their vision of the Virgin Mary back in 1917. Francesco dying at the age of 11, while Jacinta died a year later at 10, both victims of the Spanish flu pandemic. In 2000, when they were beatified by now Saint Pope John Paul II, he said that they were offering themselves as victims for the conversion of sinners. Pope Francis will, of course, be in Portugal this weekend. And again, for all the coverage, EWTN.com for the details. Well, Senate Republicans have differing views on whether the House bill, as Joe Gomez reports, to repeal and replace Obamacare will be passed in the Senate.
Republican Senator Roy Blunt tells NBC's Meet the Press the newly passed House health care bill will not be dead on arrival in the Senate.
Not taking the House bill and bringing it immediately to the floor, but taking what the House was able to do, looking at that carefully, and coming up with what the Senate thinks the Senate can do.
But fellow Republican Senator Susan Collins disagrees.
The House bill is not going to come before us. The Senate is starting from scratch. We're going to draft our own bill.
Collins tells ABC's This Week that it's also not fair the bill defunds Planned Parenthood of Medicaid funding.
White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus, meanwhile, saying on Fox News, a House version fulfills the president's promise and concerns that those with pre-existing conditions will no longer be covered. Priebus saying he's held talks with several key senators, and he's confident the Senate will craft a measure compatible with the House version that Trump could sign into law. The Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, as Frank Hammond reports, is set to hear oral arguments today about President Trump's travel restrictions.
All 15 judges are expected to listen to arguments from both sides. The Trump administration is appealing the ruling handed down by a judge in Maryland in March that blocked the ban of new visas for people from six predominantly Muslim countries. No decision is expected at this afternoon's session, which begins at 2:30. If the circuit court upholds the block on the president's executive order, the administration would likely appeal to the Supreme Court. Frank Hammond in Richmond.
An evacuation order lifted in Hanover, Germany, after three World War II era bombs were defused and then removed. More than 50,000 people told to get to a safe distance yesterday as teams worked to secure the weapons. The bombs are remnants of a massive Allied bombing campaign back in 1943. And stocks appear to be set for a strong day, thanks partly to the election of a new leader in France. Centrist Emmanuel Macron won the French presidency over the weekend, a victory that pushed U.S. stock futures higher. President Trump tweeting his congratulations to him for his win, saying he's very much looking forward to working with the new leader. The Agriculture Secretary is getting a tour of devastating floodwaters in Arkansas. Sonny Perdue joining the governor, Asa Hutchinson, for his own aerial tour of the state over the weekend.
The president wants to know, he wants you to know the pain and the pain that we have in seeing how people's lives and their livelihoods are affected. So kind of like being at a funeral, I'm going to give you a hug and say we're going to do everything we can, and if you need us, call on us.
Heavy rains last week really damaged farmland in the northern part of that state. The University of Arkansas Division of Agriculture estimating around $60 million in cropland damages are due to the floodwaters. Nearly 940,000 acres of cropland impacted across Arkansas. Rice crops have been hit the hardest, with nearly 156,000 acres of rice being lost. And despite concerns and warnings raised by school districts and parents not only around the U.S. but elsewhere around the world, Mark Mayfield reports Netflix is going ahead with renewing 13 Reasons Why for a second season.
The first season focused on messages left behind by Hannah Baker, a teen who committed suicide. The video streaming service made the announcement Sunday and said the show will pick up in the aftermath of Hannah Baker's death and the start of the character's complicated journeys towards healing and recovery. The show's first season raised some controversy among critics who felt it glamorized teen suicide. Netflix added additional content warnings to each episode in response.
And just to remind you, I posted a really interesting article on my Facebook page. It's gotten a huge response. There is a school in southeastern Michigan, Oxford High School, that is using the series to do something very positive and send some positive versus negative messages, and they're calling it 13 Reasons Why Not. So it's on my Facebook page, Facebook.com/Mrs. Teresa Tomeo, if you want to check that out. And we're going to try to get someone on from Oxford High School in southeastern Michigan to talk about that effort. May is National Stroke Awareness Month, and experts are reminding folks that being able to recognize a stroke when it's happening can increase a person's odds of a better outcome. Dr. Shazam Hussein with the Cleveland Clinic says you have to remember the acronym BFAST.
B standing for balance, E standing for eyes or visual problems, F standing for face if there's any kind of droopiness in the face, A standing for arm weakness, and then S for speech. If any of those things happen, T stands for time, and it means it's time to call 911.
There are certain risk factors associated with stroke, including high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, smoking, and being overweight. Some people will have warning signs before a stroke occurs, which is called a mini stroke. And the doctor says time is of the essence when it comes to treating a person who suffered a stroke. And finally, in our news segment on a Monday morning, May 8th, 2017, Always Dreaming is the winner of the 143rd run of the Kentucky Derby. Saturday's race taking place in muddy conditions at Churchill Downs. The horse was ridden by jockey John Velasquez and trained by Todd Pletcher, who won their second Kentucky Derby. And he says this was a victory that was very, very sweet.
You know, when you look at it now, we've been here, I think this was our 17th Derby, and to be fortunate enough to have two wins and 2 seconds and I think 3/3, I mean, it looks a little better. But to me, I felt like I really needed that second one.
Always Dreaming has won 3 consecutive races in 2017. The Kentucky Derby serves as the first race of the Triple Crown, which also features the Preakness and the Belmont Stakes. The Preakness goes down in Baltimore May 20th. The Belmont runs on June 10th in New York. Almost 13 minutes past the hour. Grateful for Archbishop Nauman spending some time with us during his very busy schedule to talk about a very important decision that he made to protect his flock and, of course, to make sure that they're not hearing messages counter to the Catholic Church. He joins us up next regarding his decision on the Girl Scouts. Stay tuned. Archbishop Joseph Nauman coming up.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
This is Lewis Brown, director of CMF Curo, a Catholic healthcare ministry that provides an affordable Catholic healthcare option nationwide. We have come to a unique time in our history. Healthcare costs are rising, and our religious freedom is being challenged. CMF Curo empowers you to live the new evangelization in your healthcare. Visit our website for more information about CMF Curo. Go to cmfcuro.com. That's cmfcuro.com. Christian caring, Christian sharing.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. 6 different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ.
Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection. 15 minutes past the hour. So blessed to have Archbishop Nauman joining us from the Archdiocese of Kansas City. And I've had the opportunity to speak in his archdiocese many times and even saw him not too long ago at a wonderfully successful Catholic Women's Conference. Archbishop, good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Teresa. It's good to be with you and your listeners.
This was not an easy decision, and I knew you took a lot of time with this. So give us some background in terms of what the decision was and when you began to consider breaking away from the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back almost 7 years when some women, mothers, were bringing concerns about the direction the Scouts were going. And our youth ministry office began to look into it, and they took a turn in terms of what materials were being disseminated from the National Office for Young Women. And so our youth ministry office, you know, studied this. They read all of this, what's called the Journeys Program and the supplemental material. And, you know, they found the concerns very legitimate. We contacted the USCCB, the committee there, and they did their own review of it and noted there are many troubling things about the Girl Scouts and said, you know, it was up to local bishops what decision they wanted to make. And, you know, there are a couple concerns. One is that Girl Scouts USA gives $1 million to the international group, which is the World Association of Girl Guides, I think is the flag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that supports the legalization of abortion in many countries around the world and is very active in that. But more troubling were the national materials, these journey materials, particularly the role models that they held up for young women. They were holding up role models that are more secular feminists, cultural role models, if you will, as opposed to role models of faith and virtue that we want our young girls to look up to. So there was, for instance, in one of their programs, there was a woman by the name of Josefina Lopez that was praised, and she had written a play that's called Simply Maria or the American Dream. And so our youth office, they read this, they read the play, and they found, I mean, it was aimed at 9 and 10 year old girls, but they found it gave a very negative portrait of marriage and family in the church. One girl gets married in the Catholic Church. Her veil and bouquet are turned into a dog collar. The woman has 21 children in her first pregnancy. I mean, they treat this like a, and they even call it in the play, a Mexican litter. And the play quotes from the Catholic liturgy and then intersperses a lot of crude statements. Now, they, you know, we objected to this. They removed it. But what it said to us is, this is a group that we're going to have to monitor everything
right.
they're putting out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they continue to have role models that, again, we find just totally unacceptable, like Margaret Sanger, Betty Friedan, Gloria Steinem. You know, Margaret Sanger was the founder of Planned Parenthood. She's probably done more to destroy marriage and family life than anyone in our culture, and she was she believed in eugenics.
Right.
I mean, to hold somebody like this up as a role model just showed how far away they were from us. And so we had actual listening sessions. Our youth ministry office had pastors were invited to send their Girl Scout leaders and anybody. And again, the local people here are great. The local leaders for Girl Scouts are wonderful. That's not the problem.
No, that's what's so sad, though, right? Because and that's why you took your time with this, because you mentioned in your statement and in the articles that I read in prep for our interview that you recognize that there's a lot of really good work that has been done by at the local level, but there is that connection with the umbrella group overall. That's the concern.
Yeah, absolutely. And So we also began to cultivate a relationship with American Heritage Girls. And so it was moving away from something, but it was moving towards something because their program is Christ-centered. We just feel it's the right fit for us. You know, we have our young girls for such a short amount of time for formation in our youth programs, and we can't afford to be partnering with somebody that we have to be monitoring and correcting misinformation from, as opposed to a group like American Heritage Girls, which really, I think, matches very much the relationship with Jesus that we want to foster in our young women, and also the virtues that we want them to embrace as well.
If you're just joining us on Catholic Connection, just about 20 minutes past the hour, and grateful for the time that Archbishop Nauman from the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, is spending with us on his decision for the Archdiocese after working with a number of people in his Archdiocese, making the decision to, as he said, break away from the Girl Scouts and move towards something very wholesome in terms of the relationship with the American Heritage Girls. So, Your Excellency, what has been the response to the decision? As I said, most of the response that I received when we were chatting during the break, I posted this on my Facebook page, reminding folks that you were coming up on the program, and I had a huge positive response. Most of the people were really grateful that you did this because many parents said, look, I pulled my girls out years ago because I was concerned about what I was hearing and seeing.
Yeah, we've received a lot of that support. There was a wonderful opinion piece in our local paper here on Saturday by Elizabeth Kirk, a woman here in the Archdiocese. She's actually a has a law degree from Notre Dame, very competent woman, but in support. So there's been a lot of support. But as you might imagine, the mm-hmm. secular paper overwhelmingly is negative, and of course there's been a negative feedback. Most of it not from our own people, but from other people, and most of it, I think, a lot of it misinformation, but some of it, you know, I think we're in a cultural battle, and there are people that, you know, that they not only think that, for instance, the Girl Scouts can do what they want in terms of their own formation of young women, which they can, but they think that we as a church have an obligation to partner with them and turn our young women over to them for formation. So, so I'd say the general response has been mixed within the church. I think that there's been a great deal of support.
Don't you think, though, that this has prompted some good discussions to get this out there in terms of what's happening? Because a lot of people may not even be aware of this. And I think in addition to you making this decision as a shepherd, as a leader, this stuff needs to be out in the open. People need to know what's going on.
Yeah, I think you're right, Teresa. I mean, we were hoping not to have a big controversy. I certainly didn't want to.
No, it's no fun, right? But yeah. You got to do what you got to do. Yeah.
Right, but I think you're right. I think in the end, maybe even though I think we were hoping we wouldn't have to get into a major public controversy over it, but I do think it raises awareness to people who, I think rightly, because their own experience in Girl Scouts was so positive, and they just assume it's the same as it was many years ago. And in some way, on the locals level, it may be, but the affiliation is not good. The national leadership has just been, I think, co-opted. And this is what we see, I think, more and more, that this different view of the human person, it's really a different view of the human person that our culture is struggling with from the Christian view, that those that hold that view try to take over. And I think organizations, iconic organizations like the Girl Scouts, for their purposes.
Yeah. What advice would you have? Because again, I'm getting a lot of emails from folks who would like to see this happen in their archdiocese or diocese, or even Protestant brothers and sisters that listen and want to have their churches, their pastors, make this change. What advice do you have parents and educators who would be concerned about this, Archbishop?
Yeah, I think they should bring, in the Catholic community, I would bring it to your youth ministry office and to the bishop's attention. I do think there needs to be a process.
Right.
And where people are educated and informed. And, so I think that's important. But in the end, you know, I think every bishop, I think, has to make their own decision about what they think's the right programs to have in their parishes. But, yeah, I think people with those concerns should bring them to bishops because, again, I think no bishop is really looking to pick a fight with Girl Scouts and be the Grinch that took Girl Scout cookies away. I think they need to hear these concerns and concerns, particularly from women that really see the danger of what's happening in Girl Scouts at the national and international level.
Well, there are a number of other leaders, including our friend Archbishop Carlson, who has raised awareness and made a similar move, and others. And I'm just grateful that you're willing to take the time to look into this and make a decision all about, you know, the education of our young people and making sure they don't receive messages contrary to the faith. Archbishop, thank you. God bless you. And we pray for your ministry, and thank you for being a strong leader and a very good shepherd on this Monday after Good Shepherd Sunday. Archbishop Joseph Naumann from the Archdiocese of Kansas City. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. Stay tuned.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Charity Mobile is the only pro-life mobile phone corporation. LifeSite News recently featured Corporate Watchdog Second Vote and their research of corporations that fund Planned Parenthood. The article concluded that only 7 corporations are ranked as being pro-life, while 234 corporations have abortion-supporting scores. Charity Mobile is one of the 7 pro-life corporations and the only mobile phone company. 5% of your monthly talk plan price goes to the pro-life charity of your choice, and there are no contracts, no termination fees, and no risk with your 30-day trial. Call 877-474-3662 or go to charitymobile.com today. Mention Ave Maria Radio and get a free 4G LTE smartphone plus free activation and free shipping. Life is calling. Take it with you. Call 877-474-3662 or go to charitymobile.com today.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. If you'd like more information on the decision by the Archbishop to move to the American Heritage Girls, of course, we just spoke with Archbishop Joseph Naumann from the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas. You can go to their website on their homepage. They have his letter there, his statement, his pastoral statement. And then also I have some stories on my Facebook page. And you can find that at Facebook.com/Mrs. Teresa Tomeo. So Facebook.com/Mrs. Teresa Tomeo. And I was very pleased to see so many parents that were approving of his efforts and thankful and grateful. It is just getting so crazy out there. The Archbishop and I were talking during the break, and he said, you know, never in my wildest dreams, and he was ordained back in the 70s, did he think he would be having to make a decision on the Girl Scouts like this, or seeing what we're seeing in the transgender area, how everything is just so acceptable, and you know, this fluidity, supposedly, of gender, you know, with Harvard University saying in their student guide that gender is absolutely fluid, and it can change from day to day, and those who don't support that and promote it are committing violence against quote-unquote members of the transgender community. It's a huge attack everywhere we turn, brothers and sisters, on the dignity of the human person. And even if we're not Catholic, we should be concerned about this because it goes against the natural law. And as I said to a gentleman who called into the program last week, who was complaining we were talking about health care with Lewis Brown from CMF Curo, oh, you Catholics just want it all your way. And actually, no, it's just the opposite. When the previous administration was forcing their way on everybody, and the supposed exception they offered, Catholics and others concerned with the HHS mandate, was really nothing more than a shell game, because in the end, these entities would still be paying for things that totally violated their Catholic principles. So actually, it was just the opposite. But since he brought it up in terms of we Catholics want it our way, the teachings of the Catholic Church are universal. The Church itself is universal. That's what Catholic means. And these teachings are not just good for us within the Church or the body of Christ. They're universal because they're good for everyone. And this is why we have to be strong, and we have to be willing to lovingly put this out there, just like the Archbishop did. And he took his time and investigated and spoke with the USCCB and spoke with parents and spoke with youth leaders and looked at the documents and monitored the situation before making this decision. It wasn't something he did overnight. But at the end of the day, he has to be that clear voice. What was the gospel this weekend? My sheep know me and they hear my voice. We have to be able to have that clear voice and be open to hearing what our shepherds say to us. Because just as with Jesus and Holy Mother Church, they have our best interest in mind. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans not to harm you, plans to help give you hope and a future. All right, speaking of hope, I mentioned before the interview with the Archbishop that there is this great story out there, and it's a secular story, and whenever there's something that promotes something healthy in the secular world that picks up on what we're talking about, these universal truths about the dignity of the human person, I always like to highlight them, to highlight the beauty of church teaching. And my friend Vanessa Denhar-Garmo from the Chaldean News and Ave Maria Radio, and also one of the guest hosts here of Catholic Connection, sent me this story. She and I worked in the secular media together for years, so we're always monitoring these different stories. But I wanted to give you a little bit more detail since we had a few minutes before Jack comes on. And this came out, and they actually talked about this on Anna Mitchell's program this morning on the Sunrise Morning Show and sent people to my Facebook page. And it was in the Oakland Press, which is one of the suburban dailies in southeastern Michigan. And you can find it again on my Facebook page. You could just search Oakland Press 13 Reasons Why Not, and the article will pop up. But please share it. Oxford High School students begin a project called 13 Reasons Why Not. Now, it's frustrating that this story is coming out the same time Netflix decides to renew this series for a second season, as you heard me talk about in the news this morning. But this story was first published last week, and it's really cool because they have 13 days of ongoing messages that these students are giving. Now, if you're not familiar with 13 Reasons Why, you need to be, especially if you're a parent or if you work with youth. It's a Netflix series featuring the main character who commits suicide, giving 13 reasons why she wanted to die, and she records 13 messages on a cassette recorder, and they kind of look at old media and make it kind of hip and everything in this series. And the messages are left for the people she blames for adding to her sadness as to why she wanted to end her life. Now, what happened was the message itself, in terms of raising awareness, as Dr. Greg Pakchet said last week, and we interviewed him on this, the message itself about raising awareness about teen suicide, that's a good thing. It needs to be addressed. It's a huge problem. But at the same time, all of these many, many concerned school officials, and a lot of them from public schools, are saying, wait a minute, a lot of these kids may be suffering from clinical depression. They may be bullied, but all of these issues can be addressed, and suicide should never be an option. So it was really refreshing to see these young people taking the bull by the horns and saying, you know what, we're going to do something about this. So last week, it began on Monday and continues for 13 days. Some of these students at Oxford High School in southeastern Michigan are each recording a different message that they're playing during the morning announcements. Now, in the recording played for the entire student body, the teens reveal a problem with which they're struggling. And at the end of the recording, instead of blaming someone, they thank a classmate who has helped them. So they're doing a number of things here. They're taking a negative, turning it into a positive, And it's really a Romans 8:28 thing. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. But it was actually the dean who had this idea. The project was a brainchild. I'm reading from the story on the Oakland Press. The dean of Oxford High School, Pam Fine, in memory of another student who committed suicide several years ago. She says she watched the series, and although I thought it accurately depicted the problems that teens in high school are facing, she still said it was incredibly troubling that suicide was portrayed as being almost inevitable, such as there were no other options. So the idea was to come up with 13 reasons why not, because that was not portrayed in the show. Even though it can get very dark, there is always hope. And what has the Holy Father been talking about in his catechesis over the past few months? Hope. Hope does not disappoint. Our message is there are no 13 reasons why. Suicide is not an option. And another cool aspect of this project was that it was kept secret. So while students were expecting to hear the normal Monday morning announcements, last Monday when this began, they were surprised to hear the voice of a fellow student. And the first one, the student talked about how she was bullied and how some of her friends came to her rescue. And so she thanked, instead of blaming people, she thanked the students that stood by her. And as a result of her having the guts to speak up and to thank someone, she had a huge response. And now there's awareness being discussed, not only about suicide, but about bullying as well. And so this positive messaging and this thanking being put out there during the announcements is having a huge impact. We can make a difference, and there is always hope in Jesus and the church. And the church is universal because our teachings are not just good for us, but good for everyone. Because of the dignity of the human person made in the image and likeness of God. That's what we do here at Catholic Radio. More on that with our friend Jack Williams coming up.
Hi, I'm Janet Benkovic. The world needs valiant women. The Women of Grace Benedicta Leadership Institute for Women at St. Cyril and Methodius Seminary, located in Orchard Lake, Michigan, seeks to train Catholic women to be active leaders and mentors for our day. The first of its kind, this program provides qualified applicants the opportunity to acquire a certification or graduate credit hours in Catholic women's leadership. Summer course information is available at benedicta.womenofgrace.com.
Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hello, friends. This is Father Patrick from the Archdiocese of Detroit's Office of Evangelization, wishing you and all yours a happy Easter. You know, friends, when the early apostles saw that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, everything changed. Can you imagine the joy that they experienced when they saw the risen Christ? All their hopes and dreams, a life lived in the love of God, a life lived with the joy of Christ who filled their deepest desires. Can you imagine the joy they experienced when they saw the risen Christ? Brothers and sisters, that's the joy Jesus wants for us. And that's the joy that Jesus wants us to share with the world. I want to invite you this Easter season, get busted for being joyful. Let somebody ask you, geez, you're in a good mood. Why are you in such a good mood? And let them know, it's Jesus. It's the joy of Easter. He is alive. And I want to invite you to consider purchasing a subscription to the Michigan Catholic for yourself or for someone you love. Visit themichigancatholic.org. It's a great way to keep that fire of divine love going in your heart. God bless you, friends.
Looking for affordable Catholic health care? Look no further. CMF Curo is the only Catholic health ministry which provides an established health care program, spiritual growth opportunities within Catholic community, and unique wellness programs and health tools. Plus, it is half the cost of many insurances. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com or visit cmfcuro.com. CMF Curo, it's my Catholic health care.
Welcome back. If there's anyone involved in Catholic Radio who wants to be involved in Catholic Radio and has a question, we've got the man on the phone who can answer it, Jack Williams. Known each other for several years, and as he just told me, reminded me during the break, he technically launched my literary career because of the help he gave me with hauling books and when Noise was first published, and I was speaking in Iowa, and the books got there late, and Jack helped me with them. So thank you again, Mr. Williams.
Well, I prefer being forever in your debt, but I'll accept this. I'll accept the thank you.
So you are now the general manager of EWTN Radio. I think this is a lot of fun because I like to bring people.
And I would like to point out I didn't see a genuflection out of you, by the way.
Oh, well, it's radio. You can't see it. It's theater of the mind.
Okay.
So, well, maybe
right.
Next week when I come down the tape with Jeanette. But in terms of your background, what does this mean to you to be GM of EWTN? And what do you think our listeners should know about the behind-the-scenes activities of the network and the affiliates?
Well, from a day-to-day aspect, you know, really, you know, we have a kind of a management team here in radio. Mike Peters, who is just, you know, an amazing operations person. You know, he spent years with SiriusXM. He's worked for many secular radio affiliates in many capacities, and he is just I've never met anybody in radio since I've been in radio that has a greater database of knowledge than Mike Peters. And then Tom Price, who many of our mm-hmm. listeners are familiar with, who is our director of programming, been with the network, just celebrated his 20th anniversary a couple weeks ago.
Woo-hoo.
With the network. And really, the three of us have kind of collaborated on this effort, you know, since Dave Asheris moved on, and I don't think that's really going to change a whole lot from our perspective on a day-to-day sort of a basis, but, you know, the same group is more or less in charge, and I'll still continue to be responsible in large part for the great, wonderful affiliates like Ave Maria Radio, who just celebrated their 20th anniversary, by the way,
yep.
Last year. And actually, first part of this year, but they, you know, these great affiliates around the country that, you know, people. I hope people realize that these are not seasoned radio veterans that are running these radio stations. These are people that answered Mother Angelica's call to get involved in the new evangelization via radio. They had no radio experience. They've formed nonprofits. They've come together. They've bought radio stations. We've provided the programming for them over the years, and we're now over 380 strong in the United States, and souls are being touched at an alarming rate.
That's crazy, 380. And when we first started years and years ago, it started with maybe five stations, right?
Yeah. Well, there were the first three that
right.
kind of came on board. You know, there in Ann Arbor, there was a station in Reno, Nevada, and a station in the metropolitan St. Louis area. And then, you know, there was a station in Jacksonville Beach that was on board early on. And those were really the pioneers, and those were really the people who started receiving the inundation of phone calls as to how do you make this happen. You know, I know Chris Williams, who was largely behind the effort in Jacksonville, Tony Holman in St. Louis, Doug Sherman in Reno, who's actually from Northern California, appeared on Mother's Live Show. And then they were just inundated with phone calls from people. How do you make this thing happen? And they've shared their expertise. And the beauty of this whole thing is that as it's grown, each new entity has been, with all charity, willing to share everything that they've learned with the people that have come after them.
You mentioned something I think that's really important, that the people who are interested in running the brick-and-mortar stations or starting them in their local area may not have any broadcasting background. They have it on their heart to make sure they can get something up and running to pick up the programming and run it. By the way, the programming is free. That was one of the things that Mother wanted to happen so that people could have the ability and take the money to just pay for the brick-and-mortar details but then have the programming available to them. But you did mention the fact all of your years of experience, and, of course, you mentioned Tom Price, and I know Doug Keck, Michael Warsaw, and others, and many of our on-air personalities having media backgrounds. So you have this great combination where we are broadcast professionals, or at least we try to be most of the time. But at the same time, it also incorporates folks who just have this desire on the heart to get a station up and running.
Oh, it's a beautiful mix across the board. When you look at the people, I mean, I was thinking about this morning. I was working on a separate project, and it just occurred to me, when you think about it, you look at the mothership, as you were here at EWTN, and really there's a bunch of Yankees from various backgrounds, some not as savory as others, that have been brought down to the deep south to run the largest Catholic media organization in the world. I mean, you don't think God has a sense of humor, for crying out loud?
Oh, I know.
The people that he has pulled together to make this thing run. And you think about the training that they received, all the technical training they received in the secular media. God has used a tool of the enemy to train people for a work of such great virtue. You know, you just kind of have to say, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the fact that you said Yankees, because Doug Keck and I are big Yankee fans.
Yeah, well, anybody, if you go abroad, anybody from anybody north of Mexico is a Yankee.
Yeah. So what are your hopes in your new role as general manager? I mean, I know you've been with EW10 for many years, and, of course, you formerly worked in Des Moines and also Birmingham with Catholic Radio. But what are you hoping? I mean, I know it's been a couple of weeks now, but have you adjusted to the new role, or are you still trying to figure it out?
You know, as I said, there's not a ton of adjustment, and not a lot of things are going to be different. You know, we're moving certain initiatives forward. We've continued to upgrade and freshen up our programming without straying from Mother's original vision. And really, what's been created from a programming standpoint is really quite extraordinary. I mean, we are live and interactive for 12 hours during the biggest part of the day. I mean, between yourself, the Sunrise Morning Show, Morning Glory with Brian Patrick, moving into Johnette Bankovic's show, which is just a treasure to both men and women, even though the show is called Women of Grace.
Right.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I mean, you talk about two Catholic radio veterans. Jerry Usher was the gold standard of Catholic radio for many years,
mm-hmm.
and that show has really hit its stride. And if folks haven't listened to that, they need to, because these are real people down in the trenches, engaged in the battle for souls, with each and every one of you walking around the streets in your various roles in your daily life, and that show is fantastic. And Dr. Ray Soso. And then
we won't go there. We'll just leave that alone. My much older brother Ray.
Listen, he is the finest mustachioed host we have on any of our
That's
programs.
True. He is.
I will
Absolutely.
Say that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. But then, you know, you move into the afternoon with Dr. David Anders, who I think is fast becoming the gold standard of Catholic radio, quite frankly. Open Line with a variety of hosts during the week there. Al Cresta is beyond par when it comes to commenting on the events of the day. So really what we've developed is fantastic. We want to continue to build on that. We don't want to be complacent. We don't want to rest on our laurels, but we still want to be able to provide for the people the things that they've come to expect from EWTN and our partners like Ave Maria Radio.
Yeah, it's really just, it's a lot of fun because we are, you know, it sounds kind of hokey, but we are really family, and we're friends when we see each other. It's just great. I mean, we can't see each other that much because we're so busy and we live in different parts of the country. But that's what I love about the radio conference, because we get together and we see each other and there's a lot of bonding time. I try to hide from Dr. Ray because he tends to run around and bother people. But other than that, it's a great event.
You know, I once rested my elbow on top of his head, and he hasn't really given me a lot of grief since then. It's kind of like training a dog. Once you let him know who's in charge, they're a little easier to manage.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're helping me with this Dr. Ray thing, because my listeners always email me, and of course my producer Andrew produces his show, and he's always, you know, sending me these funny clips of Dr. Ray making fun of me. So I have to somehow, you know, get back at him a little bit.
Well, listen, in all seriousness, I have the utmost respect, you know, for Dr. Ray. Listen, he made a pledge way back in 1973 that he has stuck to this day. He said, when Roe versus Wade, just to show the pro-life warrior that Dr. Ray is, he said in 1973, when that Supreme Court decision came down, he said, I'm committed, and I commit to you today, I don't care how unfashionable it becomes, until this is overturned, I will not shave this mustache. And he has stuck to his guns.
He has also, of course, adopted a number of children and is a pro-life warrior in his own way. And we love him, but he is amazing because he's so down-to-earth and funny and gentle with people. But what a great lineup, and I'm proud to be part of it. And, Jack, really, you are a great guy, and I've been honored to know you for many years, going all the way back to the days in Iowa. Yep, and Nebraska, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Hastings, Nebraska. That's
I thought that was Iowa. Was that Hastings? That wasn't
No, Hastings. I was working out of Iowa at the time, but it was a pro-life dinner
Nebraska.
In Hastings
okay.
for Nebraskans for Life, and your publisher's representative got snowed in on the East Coast.
That's right.
And now, your knight in shining armor came to your rescue.
You did.
Actually, yeah, Deacon Dom gave me a call and asked me if I could swing over.
All right, my friend. Well, I'm going to be seeing you, God willing, next week, because the lovely, the amazing Johnette Bankovic has asked me to tape some Women of Grace episodes. I think you're going to join us for one, because we're going to be talking about Catholic radio. So alert the authorities. I'm coming down to Birmingham. Then I'll be back in June for the taping of the Catholic View. So you have to alert the Birmingham State Police twice.
I'm just glad the statute of limitations has expired.
Well, congratulations on being the new GM of EWTN Radio. And, of course, you're on the radio every day, though.
On Open Line.
Yeah, there you are.
Yep.
Yeah, we have a great radio voice. All right, my friend, thanks so much for all you do. Just giving folks a little bit inside look behind the scenes at the family of EWTN. Chatting this morning with the new general manager of EWTN Radio, Jack Williams. Okay, my friend, see you next week.
God bless. Thank you.
God bless. Thanks. We'll be right back with Gail Buckley in our Scripture Verse of the Week on a Monday morning, May 8th. Stay tuned.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care. Holy Spirit Roman Catholic School is the number one elementary school in the Diocese of Lansing in language arts and mathematics. Their children pray every day. Located off US 23 south of Brighton, take exit 55. Holy Spirit is founded on the belief that they must educate the minds, bodies, and souls of children through faith and academics in accordance with the teachings of the Church. Tuition rates are very affordable, and their teaching staff is top-notch. Come see them at HolySpiritRCS.org.
Hi, I'm Dan Weingartz. Join us for our Time to Mow sale going on now through May 20th. Our family has been helping families like yours choose the right power equipment for your lawn since 1945. Our experts will help you choose the right product from top brands like Steel. From legendary chainsaws, dependable trimmers, and powerful blowers, a Steel is designed for reliability and built for the long haul. Visit us to see the full Steel line or see all of our Time to Mow sale specials at Weingartz.com.
Weingartz, everything from lawn to snow.
FSI Label Company is a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio and a trusted label source for thousands of customers in numerous industries nationwide. FSI Label provides quality label solutions for any application that your business requires, and FSI is family-owned since 1971 and ISO 9001 certified for quality assurance. Turn to FSI Label for your next label requirement at FSILabel.com. Your quality product deserves a quality label. Go to FSILabel.com today.
Welcome back. It is Catholic Connection. It's a Monday morning, May 8th, wrapping up with our Scripture Verse, or in this case, Scripture Verses of the Week. And I'm so glad that Gail Buckley always reminds us of the beauty of Scripture in terms of the source and summit of our faith, as in the Eucharist. Hey there. So beautiful.
Hi,
Eucharistic
Steve.
Verses today.
Yes. Well, it's Matthew 26:26 through 28, and it says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my body of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" Now, in this passage, you know, Matthew's describing the Passover meal that Jesus celebrated with his disciples. And at this meal, Jesus takes the unleavened bread and declares, "Take, eat, this is my body." He doesn't say, "This represents," or "This is sort of like my body," nor does he say, "This symbolizes my body." And after that, he takes a cup, and when he's given thanks, he gives it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." You know, one point I want to make is that the word Eucharist, I think many of us know this, is from the Greek word for thanksgiving. But in Hebrew, the word toda described a thanksgiving offering. And toda was the only Old Testament sacrifice involving unleavened bread in the context of a meal and given in thanks for God's merciful deliverance from a mortal threat. You know, prior to the time of Jesus, the rabbis had this very interesting prophetic saying, which was, this is it, it said, "In the coming messianic age, all sacrifices will cease except the toda, which will continue on into the ages." And as we know, all those animal sacrifices have ceased, but the toda, the thanksgiving sacrifice, or rather the Eucharist, continues on in the Catholic Church. So in the Passover meal, the Last Supper that Jesus celebrated with his disciples, Jesus, you know, not only celebrates, but he fulfills the Passover. You know, the original Passover involved two deaths, the death of the firstborn son of the Egyptians and also the death of a lamb. And Jesus is both the firstborn son and the Passover lamb. And as a Passover lamb, you know, his blood is shed, not just for the Israelites like it was in the Old Testament, but for all people. So the last thing I want to say, Teresa, is that, you know, the largest Christian denomination in the United States are Catholics. The second largest group, and I know you know this, is ex-Catholics.
Ex-Catholics, right.
Right. And so I think this is due to the fact that, sadly, so many Catholics don't understand that the same Jesus who walked the streets in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago is actually present in the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. He's truly there, you know, under the appearance of wine and bread. And when we receive Holy Communion, we're receiving Jesus, not a symbol of him. And so if those ex-Catholics had understood and believed this, I don't think they would have ever left the church. In the Gospel of John, you know, Jesus pronounced that his body was a true food and his blood was true drink, and that, you know, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Well, you know, there were many that said, well, who can, this is a hard saying, who can believe it? And they walked away. And those who have left the church, I think, are like those that left Jesus 2,000 years ago. So what I'd like to convey with this verse is, you know, we should be praying for those in our time who have left, that they will come to their senses and return to him. And also let's pray that all other Christians, you know, our separated brethren, will come to recognize this as truth and come home.
Yeah. So well put, Gail, and I know this is something so near and dear to your heart as a convert.
Yes.
To help people understand the beauty of what we have in the Eucharist. And the Eucharistic miracles that are available, there's so much information out there on them. There
yes.
are many of them, including, of course, Orvieto in Italy, and one of my favorites where I've been many times, the Eucharistic miracle in Lanciano. Thanks, Gail, so much. And folks, thank you for your listenership of EWTN, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday. Make it a great day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you missed a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
When a kid loses a tooth, it's exciting. But an adult has some serious decisions that needs a caring, faithful, and family-oriented dentist like Dr. Maddie with Advanced Dentistry Center. Here's what Dr. Maddie says to those that are deciding between bridges and implants.
While bridges only last 8 to 10 years and damage adjacent teeth, implants last up to 30 years and help prevent bone loss. Plus, they look more natural.
Extremely natural, with Dr. Maddie, who practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph, make the decision to call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Mention Ave Maria and receive 10% off dental implants. Be comfortable knowing that Advanced Dentistry Center's goal is to provide you with the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best. That's 248-594-9592.
Fire on the Earth's Peter Herbeck on the devil's plan during Lent.
Satan is demanding, and he wants to seduce all of God's creation. Men and women were made to love God and to love one another and to freely offer our lives to him. That's the whole meaning of human existence in a nutshell.